And welcome back to another edition of the crew 247.com with Wani Wan and the coach, as we're talking sports around the world. Reminding you to tune in and check us out on our website at thecrew247.com and log on to our social media and follow us, become a subscriber, become a follower, and you'll never miss another show. Today, we're going to talk about one of the biggest topics going around in college football, and that's Deion Primetime Sanders, who's making a big splash over there in Colorado.
Yeah, man, he's been doing a good job. I've actually been being excited about it, too, following the games. And I think this year they're projected to win two games all year, and they're already 3-0. So they're already way above projections. So they've been doing good. They got him nationally ranked. So, you know, let's see what happens.
And then he's drawing national attention. I see where all the major networks are coming over there doing they broadcast. So that just lets you know when a brother's in charge, he can do a good job.
Well, you know, Sanders is a great marketer, too. So he's done a great job marketing himself, marketing his team. But, yeah, you're right. They had game day out there this week for the NFL. Or, I'm sorry, the NCAA. Even The Rock showed up. The Rock was there interviewing with them and talking with them. So, yeah, the big wig celebrities are coming out, too, watching the games.
And then I think it was a big fuss, a big stir when he left Jackson State. Some felt he should have stayed at the HBC.
Yeah, that's true. You know what I mean? I don't totally know what his thinking was behind that, but I think he wanted to get on one of the big college scenes and see what he could do there. And I mean, if you could tell, they're 3-0. They had a tough game last night, but they pulled it out and double overtime, and they're 3-0 right now. So they're, you know, exciting. They're the talk of the town. You're definitely in college football.
They're the talk of the town. I mean, I get on my social media and I hear people I never thought I would stay up to watch late night to watch a college football. So he didn't pique the conscience of football fans, Deion fans, whichever way you want to call
it. Yeah, no, he definitely has. Everybody's interested to see what's happening, what's going to go on there. And so, you know, I give him his kudos. He's done a great job just developing his boys. He seems like he really has a big interest to their lives and just helping them out and advancing them. So, you know, there's big kudos to him.
Yeah, well, you know, I think one of the biggest things is when he was at Jackson State, I think they paid him like $300,000 to be the coach, and he went over there to Colorado, and he got a multi-million-dollar contract. So that might have played a big influence on the move, too, now.
No, definitely. Them college coaches make a lot of money, especially if they're in a big primetime program. Some of them make five, six, seven, up to $10 million a year, you know, being the college coach. And since they're state employees, they're actually the highest paid state employees since they, you know, universities and state colleges. They're the highest paid employee, you know, at that school.
So what do I got to do to become a state employee?
You got to get into college football. What's up?
College football, college basketball, that's where all the money's at.
Definitely. Definitely.
But you know, I was looking at an article that said opening day for the Colorado football team generated over $18 million for that single weekend.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
In the economy, it generated $18 million for a weekend. That's people coming in,
yeah,
renting out hotels, renting cars, going to restaurants, and buying t-shirts and paraphernalia.
Merchandise. Yep.
$18 million for one weekend. That's just one game.
Right, exactly. I've seen another stat, too, here in Arizona where, because they're going to be playing Arizona State this year, average ticket was like $120. Mm-hmm. When they come in, it's going to be over $500. So it's multiplied by like five times.
Yeah, I see the tickets prices now in Colorado is going for over $400 when they say before Deion came, you couldn't even get the tickets away.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
And then they got crowds of over 53,000. Fans coming to the games in Colorado when the stands was empty before Deion came.
That's the primetime effect. Primetime effect took over.
That's the primetime effect. So, I mean, you know, Isn't that something how just that much excitement could be generated to a local team, a lo local college team? And more importantly, all this money's been generated. I mean, they go into the hundreds of millions of dollars this year alone off of the gate and revenue coming in from the football team. And
Yeah, no, definitely.
you got these players before, I guess, the last couple of years, they weren't even getting paid no money. They weren't getting
Right.
paid. Now athletes got the ability. I don't know if they, I guess if you got the right marketers, the right handlers, you may get some money off your name, off your image. But do you realize all the jerseys that's being sold with those players' name on it still today?
Yeah, definitely. The college is making tons of money off that right now.
College is making millions, hundreds of millions of dollars off college sports. So, I mean, should Deion be lobbying for a raise? I think he said he should be paid more because he basically put him on the maps.
He definitely brought in a lot more money than they're probably giving him. You know, I'm not totally sure if his contract, if it's 3 years or 4 years or whatever it may be, but you know, definitely maybe after the year, he definitely has something to negotiate and you know, let them know what's going on about you know, giving him a raise.
Well, he might have to talk about some profit sharing or something when, it come down to it.
No, definitely.
So, I mean, when you talk about the excitement that he's bringing to college football, does that open the door for more black coaches, head coaches to be hired in college football? Because I don't think there's that many.
Yeah, I mean it should, but I don't know if a lot of them have, you know, the pedigree of Deion Sanders and also the backing, you know what I mean? Because he was a player himself, you know, he was a multi-sport player. He played football and baseball. So him and Bo Jackson are just a few of the guys that ever did that, you know, at the major league and NFL level. But Deion won a couple Super Bowls. You know, he has a really big pedigree. He wasn't that known as a coach up until maybe only 4 or 5 years ago once he started calling at the HBCUs. So, you know, it might be hard, but it does open up a door, at least another outlet for that.
So, I mean, is it Dion? Is it Dion that's winning these games? Is this the mystique, the magic, or is it just that he got a group of overly talented ball players?
Probably a combination of the two. I mean, you know, different players wanted to come play with them because it's Deion Sanders. So they wanted to go there and be in the program, you know, be part of the team, be part of the mix. That's got to be part of it. But he's also got to have a good coaching staff to be able to put those pieces together and get the victories because it's not just that easy, you know, grab some players, put them together, and you're going to win. You still got to have a game plan. You got to have a philosophy and execute that philosophy.
So basically, he taking advantage of his talent and his ability, but at the same time, he's showing, hey, I'm more than just prime time. I can physically do the job out.
Right, exactly. I think he's taking advantage of his name, his clout, you know, but he's, you know, putting that to work and they're winning. It'd be different if they're 0-3 right now, then everybody wouldn't be talking about them, but they're 3-0, so they're putting in work, they're winning. So, you know, definitely, you know, people love winners, especially in sports, you know, so.
So, we might have to put a call in to Dion prime time and see if we can get him on our show. We kind of national celebrities too now.
Hey, we got to call it. Let's call his agent, you know?
I think I'm gonna reach out to the school. I'm gonna
You
put it.
blow us up.
We reach out to the sports information desk over there and see what we can do about getting prime time on this show. So y'all stay tuned out there. The crew247.com. I mean, we worldwide and Dion is prime time. So we're going to put it in there. But I mean, in all seriousness, and we are going to actually reach out and see if we can get a show with them. What is next for that program? I mean, is it a national title? I mean, he could definitely elevate the team, the city, the players into the national spotlight.
Yeah, I mean it's got to be, of course. That's the ultimate goal is to win the national championship. Right now, of course, it would be trying to win the Pac-12 title first, you know, in your conference, and then after that, you know, advancing to the college football playoffs. The only thing is, it's weird because they're at an odd time right now where the Pac-12 they're actually breaking up after this year. Most of the schools are going to the Big Ten, the Big 12. They're all splitting up. There's only two schools I think that are going to be left in the conference after this year in football, and it's I think Oregon and Oregon State, something like that. So I don't know. We'd have to see, you know, where all the chips fall after that.
So which conference is Colorado going into?
I'm not sure if they're going to the Big 12 or the Big 10, but those conferences have like 18 schools now or 20 schools after this year.
So are they moving just to pad their resume, or is it about dollars?
It's about the dollars. So USC and UCLA started it a couple years ago. They moved conferences, and it was just for the money. Because I mean, the Pac-12 is basically the West Coast schools, Colorado, Arizona, California, you know, Utah, all those states. And USC started it a couple years ago where they got a better contract, better money. So they decided to move, and then this year, the other school started leaving.
Yeah, and I mean, these football, college football, I mean, it's big time. You know, I didn't know how big college football was until, you know, I've been a baseball coach pretty much all my life, but I had one of my former ball players, and he was a big time football player. And he wound up going to Northwestern to play football. And his father would always try to get me to come to the games and this and that. And, you know, again, I was never in the, especially not college football. In those days, we're going back over 30 years now, 30, almost 40 years now. And he would tell me about how they were guaranteed, these football teams were guaranteed like $300,000 just to show up for the game. Plus, they got a percentage of the game. And I didn't realize how big the game was. And here's how it worked in college football and basketball. You know, if you get comp tickets for somebody, you can't physically get them the tickets. They have them set aside because people take the tickets and go out and sell them. That's big money.
No, definitely. I mean, you got 70, 80,000 fans going to the games, you know?
Per game.
Yep, per game.
Can you just envision a parking alone at $10? It's probably more than $10, but you know, I remember when I was, you know, one of my buddies was the high school wrestling coach, and that's how I got introduced to high school wrestling. And I used to, you know, help out with the wrestling and go to the state wrestling meets. And it was a big thing. You go to U of I and you go down there and you know, all the wrestlers from all over the state come in, and you know, believe it or not, they filled the stadium up, the basketball stadium up for wrestling matches. And they was charging $10, $15 to get in and $10, $15 to park. And I mean, they had over 15,000 people in the stand. So you start counting them fives and tens, and all of a sudden they was making big money.
Yeah, I know that some of them wrestling tournaments get really huge too, so definitely.
And you know, wrestling, high school wrestling, like I said, I was introduced. I'd never seen a wrestling match before. I met Coach Hall, and we wind up going all over the place together. You know, the two amigos. I'm the big black guy. He the big white guy. You know, we hung out like started being friends. But you know, wrestling, you get into it. It's gripping. It's fun to watch these young athletes wrestle. High school wrestling, college wrestling. It ain't nothing like this wrestling we see on TV. The WWW.
It ain't Hulk Hogan wrestling.
No, it ain't that. I mean, see a real wrestling match. It's fun and see the kids out there. It's something. But you know, when we talk about college sports, it has definitely become a business. And as Sam says, more prestige to coach on a college level, basketball and football, than it is to coach in the NFL or the NBA.
Yeah, it might be, especially if you go to Duke or North Carolina, some of those traditionally historical great programs. Heck yeah. I mean, you're filling in big shoes, so it definitely could be.
I'm still, you know, I'm still amazed though that these schools, I think they have a multi, well, I know they have a multi-million dollar contract for the teams that make it to the NCAA tournament for basketball. And the higher you go, the more you make. And I'm just amazed at the millions of dollars. I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars that have turned over for these college sports. And again, you got hundreds and thousands of athletes down through the years that got zero. Well, not legally anyway, but we ain't gonna talk about
Right.
the legal side.
Not on the book.
Not on the books. They got nothing out of those hundreds of millions of dollars. and they pack the stands, especially when you talk about the big name programs that's on the national TV. And then not only do you talk about the ones that's on national TV, you got these college football and basketball programs that have their own individual local contracts with the local TV and the local radio stations bringing in millions of dollars per game. And again, for years, I mean years, players was not able to capitalize on that. That's yeah. really, that's disturbing when you think about it.
Yeah, you're right. The haves and the have-nots. The haves, you know, took advantage of it and took all the money. So, and they weren't even performing. They weren't doing the, you know, the work. But, you know, luckily for the NIL deals now, players at least can make some money off the name, image, and likeness, depending on how popular they are and the people they surround themselves with.
Yeah, but shouldn't that be something? I mean, you know, we talk about reparations in the quote-unquote black community, but shouldn't that be some type of reparations for those college players that made millions and put these programs on the national level and got nothing out of it?
Yeah, I mean, they should be able to get kicked down with something, but again, it was until Congress acted that changed, you know. So I think it'd be hard to go backwards, and you know, the schools ain't going to want to give them the money back. NCAA is not going to want to give them the money back. So I think it's trying to change it from here going on forward.
Yeah, well, my concern is, again, those that paved the way, they got nothing. I mean, the better products out there, they got something, but they ain't getting nothing. So, right. You know, and then there's still crumbs at the end of the day, even those that may have got some, as you say, off the books or under the table or from the alumni, whatever the case may be, it still was crumbs compared to the mega millions that was made off of this sport, their image, their likeness, the jerseys. And then under the cloak of, well, we giving these athletes a scholarship
yeah.
when some of these guys would qualify for financial aid anyway, so wouldn't wind up paying to go to school anyway.
Yeah, that is true.
So, and you know, and we ain't gonna get into it because you got a lot of minority athletes, especially in college football and college basketball, that have been taken advantage of because they the stars, they the heroes of that town. Oh, they can't do no wrong. They the Michael Jordans of those times. But as soon as they plan careers over, they can't come back there and get no jobs. They can't get employment.
Yeah.
And some of them don't even finish with a college degree at the end of the day.
Yeah, you're right. Some of them leave early. They don't finish and they don't go back. And they're, you know, stuck with, you know, what could have been.
So they was exploited by the system.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, that's another show, another place, another time. Well, you know, again, we're very happy for primetime Deion Sanders for what he's doing in Colorado, and hopefully he'll open the doors for other coaches to come along behind him and be successful. And I guess it got to be a thrill of a lifetime for a young man to sit in that locker room and hear his speeches. I've heard that he's a great motivator to these young men.
Yeah, he is. Actually, if you hear some of his stuff that he says, and honestly, he's also has a couple of his kids on the team, too. His quarterback is his son. So it's got to be a great experience for them, too, to be going through it and winning and competing at the highest level and having success.
So I wonder, did his son have to earn the job or was he given the job?
Both.
Okay, well, you know, hey, prime time and prime time, you know, hey, you got to make it quick. So Colorado is on the maps, and I think it'll be on the maps for a little while to go, a little while to come with Deion down there working his magic. And I'm happy for him, and I wish that program success. Again, I hope he leave a legacy behind that nobody can come along and challenge or contest, because, you know, the media has a way of building you up and tying you down. So when they want to find a scandal or something, they'll go find some in his past, and as if none of us got a pass, we all got a pass. And they'll use that to bring you down.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so moving on along. Again, we're talking sports, the crew with Wani Wan and the coach. Today, talking about Colorado football. And we're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about Major League Baseball. You know, what's going on with the stars of the game today? I mean, you know, it used to be that these guys, you know, when they come up out of the minor leagues and make it to the big leagues, and they come before the media and they talk to the media, give the interviews, and as these guys rise up the ladder and they get a little fame, a little glory, all of a sudden they shun the media. They don't want to, some of them don't want to talk to the media. The bigger their names get, the less accessible they become. Well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I think it kind of gets to the head a little bit too much. Maybe they're also in high demand, so they got to kind of quench that demand a little bit, or at least be selective, and then just speak to maybe the national outlets or whatever it may be. But yeah, it's tough when you got some superstars out there and they don't want to talk to the media, or they just big league you and shine you off, and don't talk to you at all. So it's probably not just a thing in baseball and MLB, but it's definitely something that is hurting the image of the players.
Yeah, because you got guys. We got this thing that's called big league in the major leagues, where generally you come in the locker room and you'll ask a guy for an interview, and they got their routine, they got their work things they got to do, and they got to go before the trainer, this and that. But generally you come in, you ask a guy for an interview, and either he'll do that interview right then, or he'll say, "I got to go stretch, I got to see the trainer, I got a team meeting," and he'll come back and he'll tell you, "Okay, well, if you get in the locker room, we're usually there about 3:30, and for a 7 o'clock ball game, and you have about 45 minutes, an hour, as the media to interview the press." He may tell you, "Okay, we can do it at 4:30," and he'll say, "Well, you either say, well, we can do it in the dugout, or we'll do it in the locker room, or whatever," and use that player show up, or he'll say, "After we hit, can we do it then?" And he'll come back and he'll show up. Now, guys, they'll tell you, "Okay, well, I'll do it after I hit." And then when they finish hitting, they'll ease on down in the locker room and won't even give you an interview, walk right past you like you're not even there, and just blow you off. And it's usually the big name players once they reach that starting point.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think the fame kind of just gets to their head, and they don't have time for the little man, time for us. So they just kind of shine us off.
And then they got their local media. I mean, you got to understand, when a visiting team come in, or when they come to the visiting city, you got to visit them. So usually you go over there and you'll get an interview with if they got a star player or a standout player, or you have a targeted player. And most of the time that player only talk, or I'm learning, I don't want to call no names, there are certain players will only talk to their local media that follows
Yeah.
them on the road and or at home, but they won't give time to the visiting media. And I think, again, when these guys are coming up, they do it when they want attention, they want exposure, but now they use social media to communicate. And I think it's a travesty to the game when you got the stars of the game, and part of the media job is to interview you and introduce you to the local fan base.
Yeah, I think you did name one of the biggest things right there is social media. So they probably want to save some of their content and get it out the way they want it. There's also The Athletic, which is like a publication just for the athletes themselves. So when they want to write a big article about themselves, or they want to give out big news, they do it through The Athletic, and versus going through the traditional ways to do it. So you're right, they got social media out there, and so I think part of it too is social media has kind of hurt a lot of things too, because when players say certain things, then social media people use it against them. I've seen some just crazy stuff online where like a family member passes away or this or that, and the fans, talk stuff, and they just say nasty stuff to them. So I think some of the players probably just shell up too, and they want to keep their private lives private, or certain things of their life out of the spotlight. So how do they keep it out of the spotlight? They don't even bring it up, or don't even mention it at all.
Yeah, but I mean, with some of these guys, I mean, if you don't, if you do a story or interview with them and it's not favorable to their liking, they, you kind of, in a sense, they just freeze you out,
Yeah, they
freeze
blackball
me
you.
out. Well, I was trying not to use that word.
Well.
But then, again, you got some guys, and I must admit, probably about 80, 85% of the guys are great with doing media requests for interviews. But then you get some of those, again, once they come up, their head get big. And again, I understand the life of a major leaguer. You're out there to do a job while you on the field taking BP in the ballpark, fans trying to get your autograph. Then
Yep.
you're trying to do your job and the media at you for an interview, but that's what goes with it. That's what goes with the
That's part of
territory,
the job.
giving
That's part
interviews.
of the job. Yeah.
And again, like I say, my only problem is when you're in your early days, you're looking for that attention. Who don't want to be on the camera? We'd be out there shooting some footage and we see the kids see the camera,
Minority group.
they know the wave to the camera, I'm on TV and put me on TV. So I mean, it's kind of human nature to see the camera and want to get recognition. But then when you reach a certain plateau, you don't want no parts of it. That's the gripe I have.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yep, you're right. I mean, because they're coming up, they want to make a name for themselves, so they want the publicity. They want, to do as many interviews as they can, and then, once they sign that big, large contract, or they get them, deals with their shoes or whatever it may be, Gatorade, whatever, might be sponsoring them. After that, they're like, all right, I already done made it,
Yeah, and speaking of baseball, I mean, the game is changing so much and so fast. I mean, back in the day, guys got drafted and they spent time in the minor leagues developing how to be a complete and sound baseball player. Now, and they spent the average of three, four, maybe 5 years in the minor leagues to get themselves to the point to play in the big leagues. Now you got guys with 1 or 2 years experience coming up to the big leagues, and basically they're getting a minor league training in the big leagues, which means you're putting a flawed product out there on the field.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of times nowadays they're being rushed up, and I don't know how that's gonna hurt or help Major League Baseball in the long run,
Well, I mean, can it help them? I mean, when the product is being diminished out there, the quality, I mean, the fans is looking for results because let's face it, the price of tickets to go to a sporting event is not
Yeah.
going down. It's going up. So, I mean, even in the NBA, it's a run and gun game. I mean, they don't play no defense. You said they play at playoff time, but I mean, really, if you want to see a good game, you got to go watch college basketball, college football.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, it is hard. I mean, maybe the last 2 or 3 minutes of a NBA game they might play defense, but they really don't play defense till the very end.
And so, again, the sport is going international, but the quality of the game sports is declining.
Yeah, it is. I probably across the board, you know what I mean? It's different. A lot of it is just about business of it. A lot about it is just about the money of it. So,
So what about that youngster that got that ambition of playing professional as a professional athlete? I mean, there's so many things out here about paying for this, paying for that, paying for this, paying for that. Is that benefiting the kid?
I think not always. I think you got to also be put at the right place at the right time, have the right talent. But no, a lot of those, tournaments or showcases, whatever it may be, there's just, it's a business as well. Travel teams, that's a business. They're out there to make money. I think you'd have to be able to be smart and limited and pick the right ones. But, it's kind of tough. I don't think scouting is what it used to be back in the day,
There's no scouting today. There's no
Yeah.
scouting. You know, the funny part, I was talking to one of the parents of one of my past players that played for me, I guess it's been about 10, 12 years ago. He had called me about something. We got to talking. Actually called me about a kid that he felt had some potential talent and ability that he wanted to introduce me to see if I can help get him some exposure. And in our conversation, one thing, and he talked about all the kids that have come through my program through the years. And I said, there's one thing that I've always told kids. I have not gotten anybody drafted. I've got nobody. I have not gotten anyone in college. All I did was took these players and presented them with an opportunity that they would not have had under normal circumstances. And they had to take advantage of the opportunity. That's how they
Yeah.
got either into college or they wound up being drafted. And in some cases, few here and there made it to the major leagues. It's all about opportunity.
Yep, that's what it is. It's presenting them an opportunity and them taking advantage of that opportunity.
And all kids are not in the right circumstance, right condition, right environment to, you can have the talent, you can have the ability, but if nobody knows you're out there, it's just a waste of time.
Yeah, you're right.
So how do we get more kids in situation today where they're getting opportunity for exposure? And you know, when we think about professional sports, I saw an article the other day. I was just so happy to be looking at it. We think of playing on the professional level, from the high school to the college to professional level, but we don't understand. There's so many other jobs in the sports world outside of being an athlete on the field. They're all front office jobs, they're marketing jobs, they're media jobs that most kids are never exposed to.
No, you're right. And they might even have a greater opportunity to get one of those jobs because there's more of them out there. You know, you got security, you got ticketing, you got all kinds of other stuff out there, you know, that, you know, are behind the scenes, but they're definitely great, steady jobs that, you know, players could take advantage of.
And then you got jobs on a major league level like umpires. Nobody ever talks about becoming an umpire when, I mean, these umpires are making good money. You go out there for 3 hours a day and umpire a game and travel to different cities. And there's only one black umpire that I know of, unless they didn't increase it, in all of Major League Baseball, all 30 major league teams. You got 15 games going on at one time. You got 30 teams, four umpires. You got 60 umpires on the field, not to mention reserve umpires and those in the commissioner office reviewing the footage and this and that. You only got one black umpire out of a minimum of 60, probably about 100 total. And then you go through the minor league system. How many you got? What does it, when we keep talking about the lack of African American baseball players in the major league, when we go talk about them as umpires, as base coaches, third base coaches, first base coaches.
Managers.
We got a couple managers in Dusty and the Dodgers manager, but we need more.
No, you're right.
We need more.
Even the umpires, they have a union, so they have a pretty strong job there. You know, they can go on strike, they can do whatever. Just like the players, they have a union just like the players. So it's a strong, steady job, like you're saying.
And I don't remember their salary, but they got a six-digit salary, plus they get vacation time. They only work 6 months, but they get vacations.
Right, exactly. And like you're saying, they're on the road with the teams and stuff too. I'm sure they put up in, you know, good hotel rooms. They
Good
eat good.
hotel, they fly first class. Then you got the broadcasters. How many black broadcasters are there, announcers doing the game for radio and TV? You know, so many other front office guys. How many black scouts are they out there scouting?
I don't know. You'd have to tell us that, mate. You broke
You
the
count
mold
them on
there.
one hand. I don't know how many total, but I know you count them on one hand compared to the scope of the overall game. And then, you know, you got so many other positions. You got trainers, you got locker room, you got equipment man, you got front office people that's making decisions. You got IT people working in the major leagues. We got so far to go. We need our own league, a league of our own. That's what we need. We need some competition to go out there, you know, to create opportunity for ball players to not only get that mindset of being professional athletes, but to be business entrepreneurs in the sporting world, sporting market. That's what our show will be next week, talking about entrepreneurs in the sporting field.
Now that's definitely where everything is going, you know what I mean? Where you could create your own business, you know, make money off your own self, off your own name and stuff.
And with this social media, I mean, you don't need ESPN, MSNBC, CNN. You don't need all of them. You can go on YouTube, you go on Facebook, create your own media outlets.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we're coming down to the wind down of the show. We got about a minute left on the crew247.com with the coach. And Wani, what you want to say out there to America?
We got the Canelo fight coming up in a couple weeks against Charlo. Should be a great fight. It's happening September 30th. Look out for that one, and we'll catch you guys on the next show.
Peace out. Till next week. Coach Wani Wan. It's a wrap.